let's continue. Up next, we have Himadri Chayashailish. I hope that's reasonably close. who has done a PhD recently, has recently graduated, and has been looking into the fun topic of parallelization in context of virtualized environments. High-level description, I guess. In particular, then here in the GCC OpenMP implementation and libgomp, the corresponding runtime library. All right.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So hello, I'm Himadri, and I recently defended a PhD. My supervisors were Jean-Pierre Lozzi and Julia Laval. By the way, Julia is present in the room. And the previous speaker has put me in a challenging spot to show as much excitement about this work in front of my supervisor, so thank you for that. So I right now work with the CrackOS team in Grenoble ENP as a postdoc. So this is something that I did at Whisper in INRIA Paris. Okay, so first I'm going to give a little bit of context of this work, and then a quick background to introduce the thesis, and finally I will iterate over what are the contributions of the thesis, and we will focus on the parts that touch libgomp, which is a runtime library provided by GCC. Okay, so the context of this work is at the triad of parallelization, scheduling, and virtualization. And to be more specific, I am addressing parallelization achieved through libgomp, so the OpenMP implementation of GCC. Scheduling in terms of Linux kernel, so right now we have EEVDF scheduler, and for virtualization I'm using KMU KVM hypervisor stack. Okay, maybe most of you would be familiar with what is OpenMP, but in case someone needs a definition, it's basically an API that lets you conveniently convert your code run your code using parallelization. So it provides your compiler directives, there are library routines, and you have environment variables. And you can do fun stuff with it, and the compiler and the library does a lot of heavy lifting for you. It also gives the programmer a lot of control about how to achieve the parallelization. Okay, the very basic idea is, suppose you have a loop, and if you are going to do the work sequentially, then you are going to do the same work in every iteration. And then if you are using OpenMP, then you will write something like pragma omp parallel 4, and then that is going to help you parallelize the loop. So the application programmer just needs to write the pragma directive. Behind the scene, OpenMP does a lot of heavy lifting by we start with how many threads to use. Then you have to fork these threads, and then you have to distribute the work through these threads. Then you have to start the work. Then you have to synchronize the end of the work. And once you are done, you need to terminate the threads. So all this is done by the library. And as I mentioned, that you create threads. And for this, OpenMP uses a fork join model. So there is a master thread, and then that takes care of creating a team of workers, distributing the work, and at the end, the workers synchronize. The master also makes a decision about how many threads to use. And once that decision is made, you have to create those threads and then synchronize and terminate them. So if your parallel application have multiple parallel regions, then you can also reuse some existing threads. So you don't necessarily create new threads every time a thread pool is around, and you are most of the times just reusing the threads. And for synchronization, OpenMP heavily relies on using barriers. In simple terms, barrier is a point in execution where all threads must arrive before anybody can proceed further. And for various reasons, to just give example of two, all these threads do not reach the barrier at the same time. Sometimes the work distribution is not perfectly even. That can slow some threads down. If you are running your application on a DBFS system, then your different threads are running at different frequencies, so your speed of finishing computation is different on different core, and that could also slow some threads down. So there are some early arrivals at the barrier, and then there are some late arrivals. So how do we achieve waiting for the latecomers? And we have basically two choices. We can either spin or we can block, and then there are some heuristic-based decisions currently in libgump, and then there are also some environment variables that lets you change this behavior. But I would like to point out that, that there are two barriers that we care about, or like libgump implementation cares about. So one kind of barrier is called the threads doc barrier. That synchronizes the start of any new parallel work. And then there is another kind of barrier that is team barrier, which synchronizes in-stream work. So you would have a parallel region, and within the region, you could be doing different chunks of parallel works, and you might need to share in-stream results, etc. So the barrier that gets used are different, one that marks the regions and another one that marks the chunks of the work that is being done. Okay, so here is like somewhat realistic example. Again, it's taken from a micro benchmark suite, but I'm showing five parallel regions, and inside each of these regions, there are two loops that we are trying to parallelize. So the first Pragma OMP parallel, that decides how many parallel regions are going to be there in this application, and then hash Pragma OMP 4, that marks a loop that, okay, this loop is inside a parallel region that and it should be executed with multiple threads. So what does it look like? I would like to make a note that I can produce all these visualizations thanks to the SCED graph tools. They were presented in FOSDEM 23 in the kernel developer room. And they work on top of the ftrace infrastructure in Linux kernel, so you can generate a scheduler trace that is going to give you a lot of events that happen in terms of scheduling, and then you can visualize it in terms of like which thread was running on which core, which thread blocked, a lot of things about scheduling you can learn from this tool, what's going on when we are running an OpenMP application. And then we are talking about threads, so the impact of scheduling also comes into the picture. If you want good performance, you want good decisions by the scheduler. So very quickly, scheduling 101. Inside the Linux kernel, we have a task struct that contains important information that is related to a task. We treat threads as also, like, task is a generic term. Inside the kernel, from the kernel view, everything is just a task. So there is no process thread differentiation that generally we read about in the textbooks. The CPUs are represented with another kind of data structure called run queues. And two terms that I would be using very frequently are preemption. So just to define it, that you stop a task from running on a CPU, that is a preemption, and you switch between two tasks, that's the context switch. And we are talking about running OpenMP workloads inside virtual machines. So then you have dual level of task scheduling. So your application is forking some threads. Those threads are trying to run on vCPUs. Then there is a guest scheduler that is placing your threads on vCPUs. Then you have host scheduler that is placing these vCPUs on pCPUs. And then the actual execution is panning out. And we care about what happens to vCPUs because we are running our threads on them. And the thing that troubles us most is that from the host scheduler's point of view, vCPUs are no special citizens. They can be preempted at any time. And they can be preempted at a bad time, and that could have performance impacts on our OpenMP application. So we care about these preemptions. Okay, So now we have enough background. We know the context, and we know all the important terms. So I can then quickly touch on the motivation for this thesis before presenting the thesis. Running OpenMP applications in cloud, it's commonplace. Oversubscription is also a cost-cutting technique that is widely used. And if you want good performance for your applications, for your OpenMP applications, you want good scheduling decisions, and you want good barrier synchronization performance. And current implementation of libgOMP is virtualization oblivious. And most of these choices that impact the scheduling performance or the barrier synchronization performance are static. So here is where we define what our thesis is that we want to combine the scheduling insights at both levels, and then we want to use these insights to guide the decisions made by libgOMP. And we are particularly targeting two decisions, how many threads to use in each parallel region and how to synchronize these threads. And our end goal is to improve performance of OpenMP applications running inside oversubscribed virtual machines. So the work could be broadly categorized into three major contributions. The first is Phantom Tracker. It is an algorithm that tracks what is happening to your vCPUs. It is mostly implemented inside the Linux kernel currently. It would be much nicer to provide the same algorithm as BPF program set, and that is something I would like to do. And I talked about this earlier in kernel conferences, so this information already exists, and my thesis would also be soon available, so if someone wants to look at the details of this part of the contribution, that would be available. I wouldn't be going into detail of it right now. The second one is the barrier synchronization mechanism. We call it PV barrier sync because we are introducing this para-virtualized vCPU is something that is not a phantom vCPU. Okay, so we track phantoms. We enable communication between the schedulers. We register our tasks with the guest. We register the VM's vCPUs with the host. And finally, we compute phantom average. We compute this metric at the granularity of a scheduler tick. And that tells the impact of host overload conditions on the execution of our application. So we care about the overload impact on us and not the global load average. And that's why we just don't take what libgOMP does now, because there is an OMP dynamic implementation that takes global load average into account, but that is not sufficient. Okay. The second contribution is motivated by two important academic works. The first work showed that spinning in overloaded scenario is very bad for performance, and blocking is not great either. Second work shows that if you are synchronizing threads in an oversubscribed scenario, then you should be removing oversubscription, so spin as many threads as there are CPUs, and then block the remaining ones. So we build on top of it. We introduce para-virtualized insights, so we know how many vCPUs can run, so we only want to run as many threads. We only want to use spinning for as many threads and block the remaining ones. So essentially, we are making a decision on per-thread basis at each barrier, should I block at this barrier? And that is entirely determined by the runtime conditions. You don't need to read this, but it's just there for reference if someone wants to look up the slides. Later, but this is, we change the do spin behavior in libgOMP. Okay, and the final contribution, which works in three parts. So first is that we adapt the DOP based on the information that we are getting from Phantom Tracker. In addition to Phantom Average, we also provide idle average. And then we are using the PV barrier sync mechanism for team barrier as well as for the threads barrier, and finally, we have a lightweight task affinity mechanism that we use to guide the guest scheduler. Okay. It is more complicated than this, but this is the gist. If you have phantoms, don't use more threads. If you or reduce your DOP. If you see idle cores, then you want to. So that means you can increase your DOP. And if you see that okay, we are in a stable situation, don't change anything. We want to be more conservative when we increase the DOP so that we don't create more phantoms and create instability. So there is like a stability requirement. We only scale up by the minimum idle PCPUs seen in two ticks, and then we also scale that window. And for Affinity, we start with putting our application threads on the first N vCPUs, because if the DOP is N, and then later, if we need to shrink the CPU set, we do it once to better guide the PVSync barrier mechanism. So there are some scheduling-related nitty-gritties about why we do this, and there is a lot of fighting that I had to do with Linux load balancer. But that what is the scope, that you can improve on, and then quantify your performance on it. Then we also want to test whether we do well in varying load conditions, as well as whether we do well if we scale. Smaller virtual machine, bigger virtual machine, etc. Okay, for evaluation, I'm using NAS Parallel Benchmarks, the OpenMP implementation of it. And it, as you can see, it is quite diverse. Like some applications have lots of decision points to change your DOP, and some have lots of barriers, and some have a good mix of both things. And for the competing workload, I'm using a random sequence. Again, like this graph is generated using the same SketGraph tools. The green line show how many threads are running in the competing VM. And then we also change like how frequently number of threads change in the competing VM. So the load condition, like first one is load is changing once in 1 second. Another one, I have the step size of 100 milliseconds. So every 100 milliseconds, we have different load condition to balance against. For baseline, of course, using spinning is not using spinning is common sense. So we are testing again blocking, like block all threads at all barriers. And then we are using a fixed number of threads for each parallel region. And then for our algorithm, I have patches in the host scheduler, guest scheduler, and libgump. All right. So on on the right, it's a larger machine. It has 96 vCPUs, and we managed to win from, I think we are going from, 30 seconds to 10 seconds, or like 25 seconds to 10 seconds on that machine. And on the smaller machine also, we are going from like 35 seconds to maybe 15 seconds. So we win a lot on this benchmark. But the important thing to note is that there are like lots of parallel regions and lots of barriers. So there is good opportunity for us to apply corrections. And then we have this, where we don't exactly win, because very less opportunity for changing the number of threads and too many barriers that our current PV barrier sync struggles to do well with. Okay. So I want to test this more. I want to fix it in the scenarios where it doesn't work, or at least it should not give back with BPF as of now. All the.
But will you use DCC when it comes to build it?
And the next question is, BPF is maintaining the BPF backend for DCC.
Okay, please use DCC to build your BPF.
Okay, I think I can safely say I will try to.
Your benefit.
Okay.
I'm not sure exactly. How do you figure out the number of virtual CPUs is changing, or is it,
Right, so the question is, how do we figure out the number of runnable vCPUs is changing? And that is by observing the decisions of the host scheduler for the vCPUs, and then also enabling hints from the guest scheduler telling that OpenMP thread is running on this vCPU, and then I'm monitoring on the host scheduler what is happening to that vCPU. So essentially, I'm monitoring the context switches and wake up events, and I'm measuring that when a vCPU was thrown off from a pCPU and when it got back again. So those are state transitions. I take samples and I compute average from the transitions.
And so what I don't know or don't understand is, let's say you're in the middle of a scheduling decision locally in your library code. What happens if you get descheduled at that moment?
So the two scenarios. One is that you are a worker that is trying to do the work, or you are a worker who is trying to wait for the others to arrive at the barrier. And in both the cases, there is a standard vCPU preemption path that the context gets saved, and you will start from that context when you are scheduled back again. So that is already happening. And it does not change anything about the approach. So preemptions are inefficiency for our work. That is true. OK, time is up. Thank you.